This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 12:03. Great to have you with us for the Tuesday, July 7th edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in for Cisco Cotto, and the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. On today's Noon Business Hour, we will talk about U.S. job openings are increasing. The U.S. is looking at banning Chinese social media apps, and on Travel Tuesday, navigating return travel from hotspots. There's an update today on the effort to develop a coronavirus vaccine, and we'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, the latest report on job openings leads today's data. We are joined by Diane Swonk, Chief Economist Grant Thornton here in Chicago. And Diane, we're talking about the job openings and labor turnover survey. What's the latest?
Well, we did see a nice big jump at the end of May, which we know from the high-frequency data, some of the job posting sites and things like that, that the end of May was when the bulk of rehiring occurred as people were brought back from temporary layoffs. What we're still missing out there is a lot of net new hires. This is people being called back to work, and they showed up in the June employment report. Sadly, we've also seen from some of those high-frequency surveys a slowdown in job postings and a slowdown in the overall labor market since mid-June when that last survey was taken. So the good news is job openings are up. They're still way off the highs hit back in February, and the labor market is still struggling to recover after the initial hit from the pandemic starting in March and April.
So what kind of jobs are we talking about? Are these the sectors which we saw closed during the pandemic, or are there some companies doing some fresh hiring?
There are some companies making postings out there, but the losses were pretty wide, broad-based, and we are starting to see some of that come back. What has been notable is the jobs that are coming back have been largely temporary layoffs and low-wage jobs, but there are some higher-wage jobs that are listing as well. Another concern out there is there's also buyouts now of high-wage workers, where we're starting to see workers accepting early retirement buyouts and things like that for fear they might be laid off with less in their nest egg going forward.
And then there's the quit rate, which it increased slightly, and you might think that that wouldn't change during a pandemic, but it did slightly.
The quit rate did go up a slight bit. It's still at low levels compared to where we were at. This is nothing like the kind of tight labor market conditions we were seeing in the past. The good news is there's an improvement. What we're sort of dealing with now is holding our breaths because of what's been happening with the spread of the virus and what that means going forward.
And that's what I was going to ask you. Is that the fear in the next report?
The fear in the next report is that we'll see much smaller job gains, and it could even go negative again as we move into August. That's a really worrisome sign that we're going to struggle to recover and reopen over the summer, given different parts of the country are now facing lockdown. The good news is it isn't the overwhelming lockdown that we saw in March and April, so it won't be as large. The bad news is that it's occurring at all, that we weren't able to keep viruses managed. And what we worry about is the number of hospitalizations, not just the number of cases, overwhelming our hospitals in many of these western and southern states. And we also see caps on mobility, people not able to travel. Chicago joined many other states in terms of limiting the number of people who could come in without a quarantine. You can't do that now from 15 states. You have to quarantine for 14 days coming into Chicago. And that really underscores just the high rate of infection and what a precarious and fragile situation we remain.
Diane Swonk, Chief Economist Grant Thornton, thank you for joining us. And coming up, a world leader who's downplayed the COVID pandemic tests positive for the virus. The president of Brazil tests positive for coronavirus, while one company is getting a huge influx of cash to help fight COVID-19. We welcome Michelle Cortez, health reporter with Bloomberg News, based out of Minneapolis. And Michelle, what's the latest with the president of Brazil?
Yeah, well, he has been downplaying the severity of coronavirus for months now, even as the number of cases in Brazil have skyrocketed. And we know that he started feeling unwell this past weekend, and he has been now tested positive for the virus.
One of the things I wanted to ask you was about Hawaii. We here in Chicago have now said that if you come back from a hot spot, you have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. It really is mostly voluntary because it's kind of hard to enforce that. But with Hawaii, they are enforcing a quarantine on those arriving from hot spots. How are they doing that?
You know, that is a great question. I have to just be honest and let you know that I am not sure what they're doing in Hawaii. I would imagine that it's an island, so they have a little bit more control over that. But you are ahead of me on that one.
I got you. No problem. And, but do you know a lot about this? I know the new vaccine that's been talked about from Novavax and a smaller company. So what did they said about that? And they got a big influx of cash.
Yes, they did. The Operation Warp Speed, the government has now started giving them a huge amount of money to start help with the production of their vaccine. So the Novavax vaccine is a more traditional vaccine. It works the same way an influenza vaccine does, where you are exposed to a small amount of virus particles, some virus proteins, and that gives your immune system a heads up about a potential foreign invader, so that if the virus comes along later, your immune system has already seen it and knows to attack it and has antibodies built up. So that is one way that vaccines are being developed for coronavirus. The other ones take different approaches. So even though Novavax is very small and doesn't yet have any products on the market, there's hope that their more traditional approach will be successful.
Is there a country that's leading in the race for a vaccine at this point?
You know, that's a great question. I would say that, that it is a global race for sure. And all of these companies, the big companies anyway, are globally based. I would say that AstraZeneca and Oxford University are in the lead over in the UK, and they are racing right up against Moderna and J&J in the US. But in all honesty, everybody is paying for these medicines. There's been a lot of controversy about the fact that the US has given so much money, and some companies like Sanofi have said that they might make their vaccines available first to the US since the government here has made so much money available. But where it actually ends up, we don't know yet.
And Michelle, what is WHO saying, the World Health Organization saying about the new evidence of airborne transmission?
Yeah, they are looking into it. That was a very controversial topic. It just happened over the last couple of days, where about 230 researchers have told the WHO that they need to be taking this more seriously. The idea that there could be viral particles that float through the air and that remain some lasting amount of time, so that currently the belief is that it's heavy droplets that come when you cough or speak, and they fall quickly to the floor, so that the risk of people just passing through them is pretty low. Now these experts are saying that, in fact, some of these viral particles might hang in the air, which could make the risk last for much longer.
That's Michelle Cortez, health reporter, Bloomberg News, based out of Minneapolis. Thank you for joining us. And up next, Ford sets its sight on Jeep fans.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Ford is bringing back the Bronco. It will unveil three new SUVs, all under the Bronco name, on Monday. And let's discuss the reasons behind the reboot with John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv out of Detroit. John, what's with the new Bronco? Tell us about it, with some of the features.
Oh, you'll probably remember, Jennifer, Ford had the Bronco out, and I think it started in 1966. They built it up through the 1990s, and then they dropped it. They're bringing it back now because they really see a potential gold mine with it. They're looking at Jeep, and Jeep over the last decade or so has grown amazingly, not just here in the United States, but all around the world. And, you know, it's one of the brands of the Fiat Chrysler group. It is the money maker for that company, and Ford wants to be able to do the same sort of thing with the Bronco.
It is, but Jeep is a very specific customer, and unless you're trying to attract somebody who might be a little more interested, I would think in like the Jeep Cherokee, that kind of a customer, maybe the Trailhawk or something. But are they really going to jazz up the Bronco to make a run with the traditional Jeeps?
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be a very serious off-roader. They're coming out with three models, a two-door and a four-door, and those are aimed right at the Jeep Wrangler. They have another one coming out that they call the Bronco Sport. It's really being aimed at the Jeep Cherokee. And, you know, one of the things that Ford wants to remind everybody about is that during World War II, the Ford Motor Company actually built over 270,000 Jeeps for the war effort. So Ford's laying claim to some of Jeep's heritage here.
And it sounds like Ford is really playing off the popularity of the SUV and the truck sales on this one.
No question about it. But, you know, SUVs, crossovers, Ford already makes those. What makes this different is that it is going to be a serious off-road machine. So the kind of people who love to go outdoors, go fishing, go to trailheads, haul stuff out and go camping, they're going to be the target customer just like Jeep does.
How soon will this be available?
We're literally just months away from it. Ford is officially going to unveil it next Monday. It goes into production in a couple of months. It'll be in showrooms before the year is out.
John, how about auto sales overall? How have they been looking recently?
They stink. I mean, that's the only way to put it.
Don't hold back.
I know. Look, retail sales are not that bad. They're stronger than everybody expected. Last month, they were stronger than in May. May was stronger than in April or March. But they're still down a lot. I mean, over 30%. And a lot of that's got to do with what they call fleet sales, especially to the daily rental companies. You know, the Hertz, the Avises, the Enterprises, they're not buying anything right now. And they typically buy nearly 2 million vehicles a year. So that's one of the causes of the big hole in car sales.
And has online sales, has that helped the automakers at all?
It has. No, that's a really good question. Automakers and their dealers, you got to give a real shout out to the retailers for the automakers. They've bent over backwards to be able to deliver what they're calling, you know, touch-free or contactless delivery of cars, where you can do just about everything online. And a lot of people in the business, not every single dealer believes it, but a lot of people believe that even once this pandemic is over, we're probably going to continue to see a lot more online buying.
John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv out of Detroit.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in for Cisco Cotto, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The outspoken president of Brazil tests positive for the coronavirus.
This is Mike Krauser. From strip clubs to newspapers to restaurants, the SBA releases a list of some that received forgivable PPP loans.
In Travel Tuesday, we'll delve into the order requiring quarantine for travelers coming to Chicago from 15 COVID hotspot states. The Trump administration is considering banning Chinese-based social media apps, including the popular TikTok. WBBM Business, the Dow right now is down 201 points. The S&P 500 is down 9, and the NASDAQ is up 9 points. AccuWeather says hot and humid today with some storms rolling through later this afternoon and early evening, a high 95 inland and in the upper 80s at the lakefront. It's 92 degrees at O'Hare at 1231. Brazil's COVID-skeptic president now has the virus. CBS's Vicky Barker reports from the foreign desk in London.
Jair Bolsonaro has just confirmed that he has tested positive for coronavirus after reportedly starting to show symptoms on Saturday. The 65-year-old president has repeatedly trivialized the pandemic, resisting social distancing measures, even as his country racked up the world's second worst death toll after the U.S. Early on, he boasted that if he did become infected, he'd shake it off quickly, owing, he said, to his athlete's background. He's about to find out if that's true. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
The Small Business Administration has released a list detailing some of the businesses and nonprofits that were approved for payroll protection loans.
Nearly 4,000 of the forgivable loans went to Illinois businesses or nonprofits in excess of $1 million each. About 250 were approved for loans between $5 and $10 million, including the Brookfield Zoo, Sloan Valve, Willow Creek Church, and Baird & Warner. Those getting loans of $1 million include Rosebud Restaurants, Pete's Fresh Market, Steppenwolf Theater, Home Run Inn, and City Winery. The Tribune reports the Admiral Theater, which sued the SBA for not including adult nightclubs in the program, was approved for a loan between $350,000 and $1 million. Mike Krauser, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
If you're among the many still working remotely, ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments. Markets today are mixed. We are joined by Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital here in Chicago. And Jack, as we mentioned, a mixed bag on Wall Street today. What's affecting the markets?
Yeah, it looks, thanks, Jennifer. It looks like investors are taking a kind of a day for a little bit of risk off. The economically sensitive sectors like energy, financials, industrials are leading the way lower, while more of the defensive sectors like consumer staples and communication that has a high dividend, and even tech, which has been kind of a defensive play in recent months, is also edging higher on the day.
What are some of the success stories as far as tech goes? Especially, we've seen the impact on the NASDAQ. Right now, it's up 14 points, and it's one of the few in the green.
Yeah, I mean, if you really take the intersection of strong balance sheets and industries that have been insulated from the vagaries of coronavirus lockdown, it's tech, right? Generally, the sector has been able to operate pretty well, unencumbered by any of the shutdown. Working remotely, of course, is in some cases has picked up a little demand. But at the same time, these companies have really AAA, rock solid balance sheets that I think that caused some concern among investors as we're facing a prolonged lockdown. There are certain companies, in fact, small caps. Nearly 30% of that sector, of that index, has junk-rated companies. And, there's some concern that many of them will not be able to make it to the other side.
Jack, what are your thoughts on the earnings season so far? Are you seeing a common theme from the companies regarding the outlook for the next, for the rest of 2020? Or, again, is it a mixed bag?
Well, year over year, analysts are expecting Q2 earnings to be off 44% year over year, which is the lowest year over year total since the financial crisis, where I think at the trough was down 60% or so. That said, a lot of companies, a lot of management have suspended guidance given the the sort of lack of visibility on how they see their business. So I think earnings season, in the next couple of weeks is going to be a challenge. It's going to force investors to face fundamentals and not necessarily the stimulus. And we're going to hear pretty sobering outlooks from management who are willing to give guidance.
Dow leaders seeing Walmart, Apple, Microsoft, what's working for them?
Yeah, I mean, here it is. If you take that combination of solid balance sheets and insulated businesses, you've just, ticked off that list. So Apple, of course, and Amazon, Walmart, very, very well-positioned companies, very strong companies. And, in many respects, investors in equities are now viewing their portfolios like bond investors. They're kind of drawing the line and saying, I want to invest in companies where I know they will make it all the way through this downtrend, however long it lasts. These companies have really gotten a lot of attention.
For investors, is there some looking toward gold right now, the safe haven?
Well, gold, certainly I view gold as a currency alternative, an alternative that pays 0% yield. And in a world where the U.S. dollar overnight interest is pretty close to zero, the incremental cost of owning gold is pretty low. And so as a store of value, it's probably not a bad place to be. I don't invest in gold to make a lot of money. It really just to preserve purchasing power in the event that the U.S. dollar drops. I think there are other ways that, investors can make that play. For a cheaper way to do it would be to own foreign stocks, in particular emerging markets, which also tend to ebb and flow with the level of the dollar. And so if your listeners are looking for dollar weakness, I would encourage them to take a second look at emerging market equities.
That is Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital here in Chicago. And up next in Travel Tuesday, an in-depth look at Chicago's travel quarantine order.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday. Chicago's new travel order requires anyone entering or returning to the city from more than a dozen states to quarantine for 2 weeks. Let's talk about application of the directive with Joe Schwederman, Professor of Public Services and Director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Joe, I mean, how do you even begin to enforce this? It sounds like it really is just a voluntary thing.
Oh, this is. You're really the city, Mayor Lightfoot's appealing to this sort of ethical sense of people. And I think what's notable about this is it took effect so quickly, so a lot of people had flights already booked and so forth, and they're a little bit confused. They're getting mixed signals that, you know, American is filling flights up full, and then when they get back, they have to quarantine. So it really puts people in a tough spot to decide how to handle this.
Do you think that employers could possibly start asking people about vacations where they're going to make sure they're not going to hotspots or something like that?
I think that's exactly the direction we're going to go. Now, the city said they may send out teams or are going to send out teams to enforce. That's a little bit uncharted waters. We haven't seen that sort of compliance effort happen before. I think, though, people feel, you know, if I'm if the word spreads that I've been out somewhere, I get COVID, certainly there are times where you have to work with employers who may be held liable if they don't do some common sense measures to make sure people comply. So we'll see how this plays out, but you're exactly right that employers are going to have to start monitoring their employees a bit more than they have in the past, and that's a tough call.
How do we know where the hotspots are? I mean, we know Florida, we know Texas, because they've been in the news a lot, but any advice you have for those who are planning trips to find out if they might be potentially going into one of those?
Yeah, I think you really look at the number of cases they have, you know, per 1,000 population. There's clear metrics, and we're seeing that those dozen or so states that are on the list really have seen outbreaks. And you know, the quarantine isn't as onerous as a lot of people think. If you work from home, a lot of times there's ways to sort of manage that. But right now, there's the big problem I think people have is they don't know how long this travel order is going to take effect. So it's very hard to do advanced planning. You know, should I book a trip in Thanksgiving? Will it still be in place then? Should I rethink my vacation? All that's putting people in a real tough spot, and the city certainly going to have to keep the public informed as they take states on and off this list.
Joe, right now on airplanes, we've been talking a lot about that middle seat going away on some airlines. Are people wearing masks through the entire flight? Is it being enforced by the air attendants? Do you know anything about that?
Well, we are seeing good compliance on the airplanes. We've seen a real good response of the airlines to, you know, to sanitize the equipment. And there is sort of a good behavioral pattern we're seeing at the airports where people are social distancing. You know, but the fact is, if there's more and more reports of flights going out full, and just the density of people on flights, you know, gives people pause. And I think we're in a kind of a trial period here to see if the voluntary when airlines notify you their flight's going to be full, you can voluntarily move to another flight. We're not sure how well that process works, but boy, it's going to be tested in August.
And what is the on the travel front, what is the state of the industry right now as far as we had the slow reopenings in some many cases, and then some of the states that opened early, we're seeing the cases rising again. Well, how's that played out?
Oh, that's certainly this summer, late summer, V-shaped recovery we hope to see probably isn't going to happen, mostly because a lot of the states that are seeing rising travel are really strong destinations, you know, Florida, Arizona, and so forth. But right now, American and United are really going to ramp up their flight schedules, even with this latest outbreak, particularly American, which is going to go basically to a full schedule. And that's it's maybe optimistic, given how we're seeing this second wave and seeing some pullbacks again. But right now, the airlines are bullish, but there may be a little over-optimism in the air.
That's Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, the U.S. government looks at banning Chinese social media apps.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the Trump administration is considering banning Chinese-based social media apps. We welcome Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout and author of the book Swiped. Adam, how serious is this? Is it really a security threat?
Well, as you know, there were real issues raised a while back about this, and steps were taken to stop government employees and military members from putting TikTok on their phones. You know, this is part of the escalation of tensions between the U.S. and China. And TikTok maintains that their servers, their leadership, everything is separate from China, despite the fact it's owned by a Chinese company. But in China, we do know that Chinese companies and the Chinese government do tend to have pretty close relationships.
If we're doing this to China, what is it they could do to us? I mean, I guess the same thing, and what kind of companies would be affected here?
Well, they could do the same thing, and they could do it relating, and they have put strict censorship on a lot of companies that are operating in China. You know, companies are operating under pretty strict privacy regulations in China. But look, I think you have to look at this in wider perspective, and that's apps in general, because, I mean, the ultimate consumer message here is that be very careful of any app you download. Understand where it comes from. Make sure it comes from a legitimate app store. Make sure you read reviews. And make sure before you click on the I agree link that you understand exactly what you're agreeing to. Because an awful lot of people found apps that were getting permissions to do all kinds of things involving their data that they really had no idea because they were facing a long list of I agree, I agree, I agree, and they just simply clicked because they wanted the app because it was the newest, coolest, most interesting and fun thing.
So what you're saying is you have to read the fine print.
Got to read the fine print. You know, it's not in bold type. It's in mouse print in 27th grade English in most cases, but you need to at least understand what it is because you really need to know what you're giving away when you put an app on your phone because some of these apps could have malware, put ransomware on your computer or your phone, and could put malware on your systems where every time you log into somewhere, that's being transmitted to a hacker, so be very careful.
Pompeo brought up TikTok. Is that just one of the biggest ones we might recognize, or are there some others that we might recognize, or are they mostly just small?
Well, there are a lot of apps all over the world. I mean, if you remember Pokemon Go, which was a safe app, but if you didn't read the permissions carefully, you'd be giving access to the company that developed it to your entire Google world until someone pointed that out and they went, whoa, maybe we went too far. So there are a lot of legitimate companies that also ask for all sorts of permissions. That's why it's so important to read reviews and see how other people feel about it. TikTok is huge. Look, it is the newest, biggest, brightest, shiniest thing. And there's no question a Chinese corporate company owns it. And there are ties between Chinese companies and the Chinese government, which certainly makes this government very nervous.
Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout and author of the book Swipe, thanks for joining us. And if you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.